This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the new Prologue EV, there's a lot that could impress you about it. There's the class-leading passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
Well, the list I'm looking at includes Paxton Lynch, Brandon Allen, and the great Jeff Driskel. The Broncos starting 13 different quarterbacks since they won Super Bowl 50. Number 14, we hope, will finally be the answer. Welcome, America. Amber and Ian are on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. On Sirius XM Channel 80, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Aaron Goldhammer today in for Amber Wilson with Ian Fitzsimmons. Ian, the Bo Nix era with my Broncos is on. I grew up there. I'm a Denver fan. He is not the typical rookie. He's 24. He started 61 college games, and I've never been this excited about a rookie quarterback in my entire life. Not for Paxton Lynch, not for Tommy Maddox. I am ready to go with a whole new era of Browns quarterbacking, because you look at this list of 13 guys, it is not pretty.
No, it's actually just absolutely hideous, to say the least. And so I'm sure people are going, we couldn't be happier. That would be the Aaron Goldhammer focus group of one when it comes to we, right? The plural form of that pronoun, because he is a massive fan of the Donkeys of Denver, even though he lives in Cleveland. And this is one that doesn't surprise me. Of all the rookie quarterbacks that I expected to start, Caleb Williams was a given. Jaden Daniels was a given. It was the other ones, right? Like, you're going, all right. Yeah. Can J.J. McCarthy beat out Sam Darnold? And obviously, you know, with the meniscus tear, done. Drake May, can he beat out Jacoby Brissett? Well, right now, I'd say Drake May. We don't get to see practice, but from what we have seen and what we hear coming out of New England, he's in the driver's seat. And then this one, aside from Daniels and Williams in Washington and Chicago, respectively, was the one I'm like, I'm telling you, this guy's ready for it. And our crew with Mark Kestisher and Kelly Stauffer, and Kelly Stauffer knows quarterback play, man. Former first-round pick coming out of Colorado State at the Seattle Seahawks. Did not have a great pro career, but he knows quarterback play.
Sure.
And damn, was he – every time we had Oregon, he was like, this guy's just got it. I mean, every read, and ball gets out of his hand quickly. I mean, he always going to the right spot. And as Kelly mentioned, the last game we had him last year, he was completing around 79% of his passes, finished with a 78% completion percentage. Kelly goes, you do that against a high school team. That's impressive. 78% is 78%. Yeah. And he is tailor-made for Sean Payton's offense. This one does not surprise me one bit, and I think Denver – you have your quarterback, you know, Hammer, you have your quarterback for the next decade plus in Bo Nix, in my opinion.
Well, he played really well in the preseason games. Ian, how much do you think that factors into the way they think about this? Because to me, I mean, my point about a rookie would be, okay, if you've had 61 starts and you're 24, like Bo Nix is, he's supposed to come in and light up the Green Bay Packers backups or whatever it – now – if he had looked bad, I think that's really concerning. But I think any 24-year-old quarterback, when you put them on the field in the preseason, I think it has more to do with what's happening behind closed doors in places the stereotypical Bronco fan doesn't see, and not necessarily overreacting to six drives, scoring on five of them, you know, the incredible preseason numbers that he's putting up.
Yeah, and I could not agree with you more. A lot of it is in practice. But as Mike Tomlin also pointed out, game setting is different. What are you doing in front of the masses, you know, in your first reps as an NFL player? Didn't faze Bo Nix one bit. Not one iota. Because he's faced so much adversity in his career, in his 61 starts. Started his career at Auburn, where his dad was a legend. And Patrick Nix, starting a quarterback at Auburn, you know, beating Alabama, is a legendary high school coach in the state of Alabama, where his son played for him. You know, he goes to Auburn, it's highs and lows. And his dad told him, I remember having a long conversation with Bo about this. I mean, it was like, you need to change the scenery. You got to go. And did he go? He went to the Pacific Northwest. He got as far away from the plains of Auburn as you possibly can. And think about this, Hammer. Things didn't start well at Oregon. We were on the call of that first game against Georgia, and they got their butts kicked. And and Bo Nix and the Ducks were awful against a Georgia team that went on to win the Natty, right? So, but Dan Lanning stuck with him, and now look at him. He took all that adversity and flipped it inside out and unleashed hell upon his opponents the last 2 years. He's not a one-hit wonder. It wasn't just last year. It was the last 2 years where he dominated.
I mean, no question. They could have and maybe should have, you could say, beat Washington twice in both of those games. You can't blame Bo Nix for the fact that they didn't end up in the college football playoff and maybe in the national championship.
Now,
the Broncos, no talent. So does Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help at Robert Half. They know talent. Visit roberthalf.com. Today, that is roberthalf.com. Sean Payton knows talent, and I think one of the things that will help Bo Nix here is that he is in a very quarterback-friendly system, Ian, with a very quarterback-friendly coach. So if I'm projecting which of these rookie quarterbacks is going to have the best year, either statistically or just overall look the best, I mean, I didn't think Russell Wilson played well last year. He still put up good numbers because he got to play in Sean Payton's system. Because of that, I think Bo Nix is in a pretty good position to be successful here as a rookie.
I'll touch on Russell Wilson in a second, but you mentioned Sean Payton's system. And before the draft, I sat down with Dan Lanning, Bo Nix's head coach at Oregon. Man knows ball and systems as well as anybody at any level. And I asked him, how does your quarterback – because the rumor had come out, right? A lot of chatter was out there like, hey, Sean Payton really likes, you know, Bo Nix. And that came from Jim Nagy, the recent Senior Bowl director, who will join us coming up in just a little bit. And, you know, so I asked Lanning, how would he fit if the Donkeys take him at 12? Here's what Dan Lanning said about Bo Nix.
I think he'd be a great fit. And I think there's a lot of teams that he would be a great fit for just because he's been exposed to a lot. Like, he's operated. He's been a guy that's had multiple offensive coordinators in college. He knows football. He's the son of a coach. So I think there aren't a lot of systems that he couldn't go, you know, be a plug-and-play guy in the right system. You know, I just think it's for Bo. He had gotten more and more comfortable with what the talent was around him here at Oregon and how he could take advantage of it. He's a guy that recognizes matchups and wants to find ways to get the guys the ball that are really positive matchups, advantageous matchups. But, the Broncos and Sean, the job they do, I think that'd be a great fit for him.
Aaron Goldhammer with Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ian. What do you got?
Sorry about that. Yeah, he went on to say, you know, the ball comes out of his hand so quickly. He's not overthinking it. He sees it, reads it, and delivers the football. And if that ain't Sean Payton's offense –
yeah, right.
I don't know what is. Because, Hammer, think about this. You mentioned Russell Wilson and putting up good big numbers.
Yeah.
Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champion, does a local show in Denver, calls NFL games for Fox, an old friend of ours. He told us last year that when Sean Payton lost his bleep, right, on Russell Wilson on the sideline, the final straw was a 2-step drop in Sean Payton's offense. Whether your left tackle is kicking out that edge rusher. I mean, it's just a kick block. Get him out of there. Create the window so it can't be batted down. 2-step drop, see it, and throw it. The ball's got to be out of your hands. Yeah. What did Russell Wilson do?
Hang on to the ball.
Doesn't throw it. Does a pirouette, right? And to his blind side where your left tackle has kicked the edge rusher out. Well, what does he do? He pirouettes right into the edge rusher. There's a -8, right? I mean, he put up decent numbers, but he wasn't running the offense. He wasn't running the system. Bo Nix ain't going to do a pirouette out into an edge rusher. He's going to get rid of the football. It's going to come out of his hand quickly.
Heck, he will not. You know, and I think Dan Lanning, I'm always skeptical about a coach just propping his guy. Like, I don't know that I've ever had a coach come on a show and say, you know what, I don't think Bo Nix would be a very good fit in Denver.
All
I don't think he's that good
that.
A quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, see you later. However, in this case, I actually think that the ups and downs that Bo Nix had in college are going to serve him well as a rookie quarterback. Because I think he's going to understand, you know, some guys, Caleb Williams, has he ever had something go wrong in his football
career? Yes, last year. Yeah,
well,
last year.
I he was still the number one overall pick in the draft the entire way through. He didn't play well in a couple of games against Notre Dame, but to me, he's lived a pretty charmed existence, and I don't know how he's going to handle the level of adversity that Bo Nix has already dealt with at Auburn and at the beginning of his time at Oregon that now brings him to this moment with the Broncos. What do you think a good rookie season for him looks like, Ian?
Oh, you complete around 63-64%, which is low in this day and age. You know, you throw for around 3,000 yards, and you go 2-1 touchdown to INTs. I mean, it's not through the roof, right? I mean, he's a rookie still. You have to level your expectations. But I think he will have Denver, you know, right there around a 9-10-win team. Hell, they won 7 with what we just described with Russell Wilson at quarterback.
Pirouetting into defensive linemen. I mean, if that's the case, I think we're entering a year where we might see success for rookie quarterbacks coming off a C.J. Stroud season like we've almost never seen before. How many of these starting rookie QBs are going to end up making the playoffs? We debate and discuss next. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm in for Amber Wilson. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network. In college football, a solid defensive line protects the end zone. And when it comes to fire safety, quality smoke alarms can help you protect your home. That's where Kidde comes in. Their alarms detect smoke over 25% faster, so you can react when seconds count. Plus, they're quick and easy to install, so you can help protect your home turf and get back to watching your team. Defend your game time with Kidde and the Home Depot. How doers get more done. 29% faster average smoke detection based on internal testing of smoldering wood fires for Kidde 9th edition versus leading competitor 8th edition products.
Well, C.J. Stroud last year had 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He won a playoff game against the Cleveland Browns. It might be the best rookie season we've ever seen for a quarterback in NFL history, but the question now is, can it be topped by one of these guys this season? Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We've got Caleb Williams. We know that Jaden Daniels is going to be the starter for the Washington Commanders. We now know as of today, Bo Nix will be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. And Ian, at least thus far, through a couple of preseason games and practices, this quarterback class looks real, real legit, at least on the surface.
Look, it's phenomenal, in my opinion. I think that Caleb Williams is going to have a very long career. I think that Jaden Daniels, if he gets down or gets out of bounds, that's the one concern I've got with Jaden Daniels. He's such a fiery competitor.
Yeah.
That he's just got, dude, you're 6'4", 210, not 6'4", 240. You're not Josh Allen. Get down. You're not Andrew Luck or Cam Newton. Get down or get out of bounds. You saw Dan Quinn, I mean, chewing his butt out when instead of going down after he got a first down on a scramble to the right boundary,
yeah,
he turns it upfield and gets tackled from out of bounds, from behind.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn, you could see Dan going, get down.
I mean, you're our whole franchise right now,
right,
dude. With the last thing we need is for you to get
my
annihilated.
My job.
Right.
Kingsbury's job. All of our jobs depend on you staying healthy.
Correct.
Get your butt out of bounds or get down, right?
The numbers are there, and it's also just the poise that I think they've shown. And some of this, to me, has to do with playing at multiple schools, the extra COVID year, the age of the players. I just think that we're poised this season. And I don't know that any of these guys is really going to a horrendous situation. You know, like Bryce Young, poor Bryce Young last year. was thrust into the worst situation possible. I don't know that I see any of these guys being put in a spot like that. So if I put you on the spot, Ian, and said, okay, Caleb, Jaden, Bo, one of them bet to make the playoffs, who would you bet on?
There's only one, I think, that does make the playoffs. And that's the Bears as a wild card. I think the Broncos are improved, but the AFC is so deep. I think they could be a 9-win team this year, you know, which is two better than last year. And I think Bo Nix it has a solid rookie campaign. The Commanders, they're not there yet. The O-line is a little suspect, you know, so that I think they're more of a 6-7 win type team. Even with Jaden Daniels, again, if he learns to get down and get his butt out of bounds. But when it comes to the rookies that are going to start this year, New England, if Drake May, and I believe he will end up being the starter, it's like Herm Edwards told us on Monday, if it's close, start the rookie.
Yeah.
Right?
I would agree. You know, the other weird thing about that situation is Jacoby Brissett was named the starting quarterback back at the end of July, and now all of a sudden you ask Gerard Mayo, the coach of the Patriots, about the situation, and the door is back open. What does that tell you? To me, it tells me that he's leaning
Drake
towards
gonna be your starting
changing
quarterback.
His mind and making Drake May the starter. Yeah, yeah.
But we've never seen a number one overall pick walk into a situation like Caleb Williams did. With not one but 2,000-yard receivers, a deep running back room, a solid offensive line. And the Bears' defense last season, through the last 7 weeks of the year, was arguably the best in the National Football League. Yeah. And you also get the number one overall pick. Yeah, I think if there's one rookie quarterback that makes the postseason, it's the Bears as a wild card team.
Boy, it's interesting. You know, I know on the surface what Caleb Williams has is amazing – an amazing set of resources that you just ran through. I could also say the level of pressure to me that he is facing. I have Bears fans, Ian, in my life, and they are already treating this guy like he is the second coming of Patrick Mahomes. And I keep trying to tell him, look, he's a rookie. He's going to make rookie mistakes. All the rookie quarterbacks, even C.J. Stroud, sometimes make bad plays. And the reality of it is I look at the Bears franchise. Nobody has gone there and been a franchise quarterback since, what, Sid Luckman was playing in the 30s and 40s? I mean, there's no color television footage of a Bears franchise quarterback, to be honest
Even
with you.
Even Jim McMahon. That was a defense and Sweetness, right? That was a defense and
exactly.
Walter Payton. McMahon bus drove that damn thing and was a character, but he was not a franchise-type quarterback.
I just think Caleb Williams' situation is more difficult than you say, because even though he has a good football pieces around him, I just think psychologically being a franchise quarterback for the Chicago Bears has eaten so many guys alive that I'm really curious to see how Caleb Williams handles ultimately the pressure of trying to lead the team, because I think now Bears fans are expecting them to win 9-10 games and grab a wild card spot. By the way, their division is no cakewalk. I could argue the Packers and the Lions outside of San Francisco probably are the two best teams in the NFC.
You can, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to argue that one bit, especially with the youth of the Packers and the experience both those teams got, Detroit and Green Bay, in the postseason last year. But I could see three teams coming out of the NFC North into the playoffs.
Wow.
I really can, man.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
Look, Caleb Williams, we had him a lot, either at Oklahoma or SC. And when we sat down with him at the NFL draft with Mike Tannenbaum, Chris Carlin, and Jordan Reed, I could not have been more impressed with this young man. And we asked him, you faced true adversity for the first time in your career last year at SC. Mm-hmm. Would you learn from it? And he went into this remarkable story about how he went to Lincoln Riley's office when they were eliminated from going back to a Pac-12 title game when they lost to Utah on a last-second field goal. And then, I mean, it was unbelievable. This guy was like, you know, hey, I learned that everything is not always sunshine and daffodils.
No.
And he goes, it made me a better player, maybe a better person. And after we got done, I'd never seen this before. All my years of working the NFL draft, Caleb Williams got up and not only thanked all the on-air people, but walked around the entire set thanking our producers, our engineers. I mean, you name it. I mean, thank you for having me. What's your name? Nice to meet you. He's just a class individual. And then when he gets on the football field, he'll gut you with a spoon, man. I mean, he'll kneecap you to win a game. He's awesome.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Caleb Williams, I'm not worried about him having the pressure of being a franchise quarterback. Because a lot like Bo Nix, he has faced adversity, and he learned from it and became a better person and player from it.
Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer with Ian Fitzsimmons. Can I make for you the Bo Nix case to this question? The Broncos potentially making the playoffs. I think this league, first and foremost, I'm not exactly going out on a limb here and saying this, is about coaches and quarterbacks, not just quarterbacks.
No doubt.
I have by far, of all the rookie QBs, the most faith in Sean Payton of any of the coaches that have him, whether it be Matt Eberflus. Yes, Dan Quinn has taken a team to the Super Bowl, but I think there are a lot of coach questions around these rookie QBs, and I think that in terms of the offense in which they play, while you might say they don't have quite the level of talent, I do think there are some good receivers in Denver and a couple of pieces there that will help Bo Nix. I just trust the system. I trust the coach and the system more for him than I do with the other guys. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, look, you've got talent at wideout. Cortland Sutton, I'd say you got a steal in Troy Franklin, who obviously played with Bo Nix at Oregon.
I like that connection.
I could not believe that he fell to the fourth round. I mean, that was like manna from football heaven. Yeah. You have a deep running back room. Yeah, I mean, look, he's got talent around him. And like, he has to be a little bit more than a bus driver for Sean Payton. But Sean's going to ask him to make plays.
Yeah.
And he's not going to hesitate to ask the young man to make plays.
I know how the league turns over enough, and I keep looking at this, and I'm wondering if it might be the one that we don't expect. But one of these teams is going to end up going to the postseason. With the Falcons, with the one situation we didn't bring up here is what's going on with Michael Penix Jr. I got to say, and I'm a little surprised, he hasn't played more in the preseason. What do you think's going on there?
I think you have a coaching staff and maybe in a front office that are going, we're good. We don't need to see him right now. We see him in practice. Let's not get the future hurt. You know, we got Kirk Cousins. Let him get all the reps, as much rhythm as he can with Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and the boys. We're good.
Yeah.
No need to put the Husky out.
I do wonder if they saw what happened to J.J. McCarthy, and they're like, yeah, we don't want that to happen
Maybe.
To our guy. But that's their backup quarterback. The other piece that they have to have him ready in case Cousins goes down. Okay, up next, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy, joins us. He was high on Bo Nix last year. What does he have to say about him right now?
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneylines, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Well, Hammer, our next guest is a brilliant football mind. He's been an NFL scout for nearly two decades, a four-time Super Bowl champion, and when it comes to when the draft truly starts, it drafts in his place in Mobile, Alabama, for the Reese's Senior Bowl. And the watch list for 2024 when it comes to college football players is out. It's a holy day of obligation if you're a football fan. The great game of college and pro football collide here on ESPN Radio. With Aaron Goldhammer in for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. We bring in our good friend Jim Nagy, Reese's Senior Bowl director, and returns here to ESPN Radio. And, Jim, let's begin, man. I know you got a truckload of them. First of all, take us behind the scenes with the process, and how many guys are you watching this year in college football?
Yeah, Ian, good to be on, man. Thanks for having me on. It's this is a big day, culmination of a lot of hard work. So I got to give our staff a ton of credit. This goes all the way back to last January. We kicked off our game at the end of last January, played it on February 3rd, and we were working on the 2025 class even before then. So, really literally about 8 months worth of tape work. All 859 players on the list. We watched tape on. We weren't just, this isn't one of those lists where we just kind of slap it together. We did. We watched all these guys. We talked to college coaches. We put in the work. I mean, there's hundreds of players that didn't make the list. This is probably a bigger list than I would like, Ian. Honestly, I don't love, filling players with, false hope that they're going to play in the Senior Bowl or get drafted or any of that. I think there's a lot of that out there. I just go back to my time in the NFL. I've been on the other end of the phone after guys don't get drafted and you're trying to sign them as undrafted free agents, and there's a real letdown. And so I don't want to let any of these kids. So that's why I would love for this list to be about half of as big as it is. But just by the nature of where we are this year in college football, this is a massive senior class. This is the last, this is the last year of the extra COVID year of eligibility thing. So it's a really big fifth and sixth year senior class. We had 81 juniors on the list this year. We've never had that in the past. The NFL passed that rule last year in November that we could play with juniors. So last year's watch list didn't reflect juniors. So we've got 81 more names there. And then we added specialists this year. We've never done that. So it's a big number. We've got to pare it down quite a bit if we're only going to bring, 130 players here to Mobile. So, but it's a good starting point. And I tried to make a point on social media earlier today for all the guys that weren't on the list. It's just a starting point. I mean, we had seven guys last year, seven position players that were not on the watch list that ended up in the game, in the Senior Bowl, and all of them got drafted. And two of those guys were top 100 picks. They're third-round picks. There's a corner from Boston College, Elijah Jones, and then the USC running back, Marshawn Lloyd, who went to the Packers in the third round. So again, big day for us. It's a lot of fun sitting around this office watching all these graphics from around college football roll in with our logo and the Reese's product on these graphics. But it is now it starts. Now the college football's here, and we really gotta figure this class out.
Jim, what correlation, if any, is there between the school that has the most players on this list and the school that wins the national championship?
Quite a correlation. Yeah, good question. I think if you just look every year, if you want to predict who's going to win the national championship, if you just boiled it down to future NFL players, that's a pretty good starting point. So, last year, for the second year in a row, Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss Rebels have the most players on this list. And obviously they didn't make the playoff last year, but they did win a New Year's Six Bowl game and have 11 wins. I think Michigan was second last year and they did win the national title. So there is a correlation. Yeah, there is a correlation. I mean, you got NFL players on your roster. You should win a lot of games at the college level.
He's a Reese's Senior Bowl director. The draft starts in Mobile. Spent nearly two decades as an NFL scout. He's got four Super Bowl rings. Jim Nagy joining us here on ESPN Radio with Aaron Goldhammer. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. And having said that, Ole Miss, you just mentioned, has the most draftable grades of any school in college football. What about by conference? I'm assuming the SEC is a clear number one. Is the Big Ten number two?
Yes, it is. SEC is by a big number. They've got 229 on the list. We had 15. What was it? We had 11. Okay, we had 11 schools with 15 or more players. Of those 11 schools, seven were in the SEC.
Wow.
So you've got Ole Miss with 21. You had Georgia with 20. A&M with 20. Alabama with 19. LSU with 18. And then Ohio State with 18. So you basically get through five SEC teams until you get to the highest Big Ten, and then Ohio State at 18 and Oregon at 17. So, SEC comes in tops, and then Big Ten is second with 162, basically about 70 behind, and then the ACC and the Big 12 were at 136 and 119, and obviously that's the Power Four. And then there's a significant drop-off then to the Sun Belt Conference. You get into the group of fives.
Jim Nagy is with us. Jim, I'm going to get you in some trouble here. If you could extend an invite to one senior in college football, who would it be right now? You have to make the decision right now, and you can get a guarantee that they're going to come to Mobile. Who's the one player you pick?
Well, I'm starting at quarterback just because that kind of drives the bus, right? It was a good year last year having Bo Nix and Michael Penix down here. The ESPN people loved it for practice when they were down here. The NFL Network people that have our game loved it. So I would probably start with our highest graded quarterback right now, and that's Carson Beck at Georgia. Carson, to me, was one of the most improved players in college football last year from beginning to the end. We had him in the second round to end last year, and had he come out and had a good process, I feel like he would have been the seventh first-round quarterback had he come out a year ago. So if you're making me pick one, he'd be the guy right now.
So, wow, that's high praise coming from you, man. He would have been the seventh quarterback taken in the first round if he'd have come out last season, and he's with the Dogs looking for a natty this year. Speaking of Bo Nix, you were so high on him even before we went to the Senior Bowl, when we met with you at the Senior Bowl, which is folks, it is an unbelievable, I mean, it's as crisp of a practice session in a week as you're going to find, and the game is amazing. But you stood on that on the mountaintop going, Bo Nix is NFL ready. He's announced today as a starter for the Denver Broncos. Take us back, man. What was it about him, and how does he fit in Sean Payton's offense? What makes it click?
Well, yeah, let's start there, Ian. In the fit with Sean Payton. You know, we always talk about fit matters at a lot of positions. It certainly matters probably more at quarterback. You could make that argument, but you know, he's a great fit with Sean. You know, I was at the LSU Pro Day and there's some guys on their staff there, some guys from their coaching staff watching Jaden Daniels, and just in conversations that day, it became pretty clear that you know, the head coach was enamored with Bo Nix, and it makes sense. Again, he's not Drew Brees. I would never compare any young player to a first ballot Hall of Fame player, but he does do a lot of the same things in terms of, you know, just, you know, having poise, having accuracy, getting the ball out fast, being physically and mentally tough. I mean, Bo Nix is a throwback kid, right? He's a coach's son. He grew up around the game. He's really weathered. You know, there were some tough times at Auburn. He had to leave the state, go to a different school. 61 career starts at the college level. It doesn't surprise me one bit that of today's announcement. I think he's ready for it. I mean, if he's not ready after 61 college starts, who's ready for it? So, and I just love the fit. I love the fit. I mean, Bo's going to be really good in that offense. He's going to operate at a high level of efficiency for a rookie in that offense. No, I think Denver's eventually, you know, in the next couple of years, got to add some pieces around him. I don't think there's a whole lot there for him to work with this year, but I think they got their guy. I think Denver's got their guy moving forward.
Got about 15 seconds. There are a couple other impact rookies that NFL fans could be happy they were at your game and now on their team.
Well, if I'm the Chicago Bears, keeping it quick, Austin Booker is a guy that, you know, coming out of Kansas as an edge player, we thought was like quote-unquote developmental, and he's looked like an impact player in the preseason so far. And I get it's preseason. We don't want to go overboard. But Austin Booker has been a monster so far for the Chicago Bears.
You're the best, man. Thank you so much. The watch list is out. Go see how many guys from your college team are on the Senior Bowl watch list. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure, man. Jim Nagy, this Reese's Senior Bowl director. The draft starts in Mobile with Aaron Goldhammer on me and Fitzsimmons. You're on ESPN Radio. And Hammer, I thought you asked an outstanding question when it came to the team with the most draftable players. How often does that correlate to national title contender? Last year, he said Michigan, second when it comes to most draftable players. They had 23 guys in NFL camps, 15 drafted, undefeated, win the Natty. Ole Miss this year, 21 draftable grades. Pre-season
look out.
Number six, watch
look
out for the reps.
Look out. And to me, they also have maybe the most intriguing Heisman candidate. And you know this better than I do. You got to kind of identify the right quarterback. But do you see Jackson Dart as a legitimate Heisman contender this year? Not really.
I don't. I was talking to some people that were at the Manning Passing Academy. Mm-hmm. And look, I know it's a passing academy, right? And live bullets are live play action is a lot more. But that's one where you're going up against the best of the best, and there's some royalty around there. And
sure,
he did not throw well at all. So that's You're talking about Heisman, man. I think there's probably half a dozen guys that I would put ahead of Jackson Dart, quarterback at Ole Miss. That's not a shot at him. He's still a very solid college quarterback.
Yeah,
he's going to get drafted.
That there are some of our colleagues at ESPN Radio that have tried to sell me on going to ESPN Bet and making a bit of a Jackson Dart-related Heisman wager. It's always fun to try to project where that's going because sometimes, like Lamar Jackson, you could kind of see developing over the course of a season. I'm not a huge Shedeur Sanders believer, and Carson Beck is the favorite, so it's like it's not super fun to bet on the guy who's
you want
sort
odds.
Of the,
yeah, 100%.
You want to try to find the potential long shot there.
I will give you a couple. Connor Wegman, quarterback Texas A&M, is long odds, and I think they're going to be with Colin Klein coming in as a new OC. I like that one. Cam Ward's got long odds. Ollie Gordon III has long odds at Oklahoma State. And here's the one. If Travis Hunter, I mean,
wow.
I think he's the best player in college football.
Wow.
If Colorado can somehow get to 7 wins, that dude is going to be in New York and has a shot. And you really want long odds, I'll give you long odds. Miller Moss, quarterback at USC. He's worth 10 bucks to win 500.
You know, the quarterback one I could almost see. And I know Travis Hunter kind of plays both ways. To me, I don't think a defensive player can win it. And I find it – you brought up Ollie Gordon. I find it hard to believe that a non-quarterback in this day and age can win the Heisman Trophy. Who was the last non-QB to – Devontae Smith? But, again, that's a receiver, a guy that's involved in the passing game. I don't know the era –
so is Travis Hunter.
Yeah, but he's more a defensive – isn't his specialty more on defense than it is on offense, or am I not being fair?
It's almost 50-50 going back to last year. Then he got hurt, remember? So
right.
last guy we saw do that was Charles Woodson. And then the following year, Champ Bailey at Georgia put up better numbers than Charles Woodson did
and didn't
get a damn invite to New York. So who the hell knows?
I wish either one of those guys had good NFL careers. Coming up next, we play another edition, Truth or Lie. Ian and Hammer, I'm in for Amber. This is ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
The Cleveland Guardians tonight are starting Joey Cantillo, a rookie at Yankee Stadium against the Yankees. New York, a 4-0 lead. Guess how, Ian? I bet Juan Soto's homered. Yep. I bet Aaron Judge is homered, too. Yep. They both have 2-run shots. Maybe in the rookies' game plan, they should have put something about not pitching to those guys. Come on. It's the only thing you have to do.
I'm going to give you a little something to laugh at while we're getting ready to go to Truth or Lie. Are we replaying Kirk Cousins' playlist? We are, aren't we? It took me 3 breaks, but now we're going. We got Caucasian classics coming back at us again, back-to-back nights. I mean,
we honestly thought it was going to take you a lot longer to notice.
Ian, great job by you to figure it out, point it out. I didn't say anything, and I didn't know. But then when you mentioned it just now, and I think back to the show text chain where we were going back and forth, because Cousins claimed that this is actually not his playlist.
Yeah, it was a staffer that put it together of songs that the staffer thought he would like. I believe. Why would he lie about that? Why would he lie? I believe him.
Because he does.
I do. It was a better story if it was Kirk Cousins' playlist.
He's
right?
Afraid of losing Kirk O'Chain's status.
Right. And also, it doesn't exactly make him look, I don't know, cool and hip that his, you know, playlist is 3 Doors Down and Blink 182 and a bunch of music from the 90s. Amber and Ian. Go ahead, Renee. I'm sorry.
honestly thought it would take until Stacy's
mom. Yeah, we thought it was going
to
be Stacy's mom.
That would be the tip.
Yeah, that was in my head for an hour and a half last night. I was singing it during every break, and they were like, we have to get off the air and get this guy out of here, because I kept singing, Stacy's mom has got it going on. And then I would change it to Stifler's mom has got it going on, just to stay with that era. Anyway, there we go.
Triple H, ESPN. Did you ever have a crush on your friend's mom? Amber and Ian, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more. Go to progressive.com. Time for Truth or Lie.
Please.
Two of them.
Are they giving us the inside scoop?
What I'm about to tell you is top secret.
Or are we being held out of the loop?
Our game plan is simple yet complex.
This is Truth or Lie.
I will give 110%.
With Amber and Ian.
Time for us to play a little addition to Truth or Lie. We bring in our producer, James Steele, with the questions. We have the answers. What's up, James?
Yeah, how you guys doing? So I have some sound bites here for you. We're going to listen to them, and you're going to tell me if the guy is being truthful or lying. So we're going to start off with Sauce Gardner. The Jets and Giants had a joint practice today, and Sauce Gardner was asked about his takeaway from playing against Daniel Jones. Here that is.
What was your opinion or takeaway on Daniel Jones?
He's a good quarterback. You feel me? I thought I was about to pick him off today. I had a little cloud rip. You know, he had looked at the last minute to try to throw the check down to Wandell. You know, I thought I had to pick, but he kept it.
No.
The competitive periods, it was very competitive, man. It was great. Like, I had fun out there today, you know.
Cringing right now.
I don't even know what to say. Like,
oh, that hurts.
Right.
He did clarify on Twitter, quote, I said, he's a good quarterback. I just got a little distracted with something mid-interview. Chill. Hammer, is Sauce Gardner telling the truth or lying?
Guys, everybody is seeing it, and nobody wants to say it. The Giants spent a high draft pick and now a lot of money on maybe the worst starting quarterback in the league. Like, these guys are very savvy generally, and I just think if he had any respect for Daniel Jones whatsoever, he's got some spiel, Ian, that he could go to and say, regardless of whether something else is distracting him, the guy does interviews every single week. I just find the distracting thing hard to believe, and I do think it's an indictment on the quarterback of the Giants. What do you think?
I think he's lying in the tweet and was being truthful in the answer. But Daniel Jones is also, as his owner said last year, we have done everything we possibly can to ruin this guy. So there you go.
All right. Ohio State hasn't beaten Michigan in how many years, Ian?
Three.
3 years without beating Michigan, which is a big no-no in Ohio State. There's been some talk over the past year or so about Ryan Day and if he's the right guy at Ohio State. He was asked today about if he has any concern about his job status.
Well, I think anytime you're at Ohio State, you know, we know you're going to have expectations, but you know, there's always going to be chatter. There's always going to be noise, and it's our job to block all those things out and just focus on what really matters. Now, our guys, they know what the expectation is. You've heard some of them say, you know, what their goals are. We're not going to shy away from that. You know, you expect to win every game. That's just what it is. And if you don't think that's the case, try losing a game at Ohio State. I mean, you're expected to win them all. So that's not new. We embrace it in recruiting, and we want to make sure that those type of people are in our program.
So he doesn't sound too, you know, concerned, but there is some buzz. So, Ian, truth or lie, no concern there for his job?
Everything he said is the truth. I lived there, covered that team, the 02 National Championship team. Everything he said is spot on. It is true. Lose a game, and they want you tarred and feathered in a public square. Will Campbell, All-American left tackle at LSU, said the same thing. 10 wins are not acceptable here at LSU. And pick a marquee program. You're expected to not only beat your rival, not only win conference titles, but go win national titles. That's the standard.
Ian, to me, that part of it is true. I agree with you there. I think the lie here, though, is for him to try to tell his team, you know, be careful, don't pay attention to all the noise. I mean, isn't he the guy on national television also ranting last year after the Notre Dame game about what Lou Holtz said about them in the media? So I do think that they're listening to what's going on in the conversation that's around the team. By the way, as someone who, you know, lives in Ohio State country here in Cleveland, but isn't exactly a fan of Ohio State, I just want to correct this fact, make sure everybody knows, Ohio State has not beaten Michigan since 2019. They did not play in 2020 because of COVID, and Michigan won the games in 21, 22, and 23. We are talking in pre-pandemic, the last time the Ohio State Buckeyes beat the Michigan Wolverines. Coming up
that
next,
ends Mike, this year.
Mike Tannenbaum, I think so too. Mike Tannenbaum had an interesting thought on Get Up today about what the Steelers should do with their quarterback. We discuss it next on Amber and Ian.